In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. Welcome to the Tech Zone. We on our tech flow, and it's still a global market in case you didn't know. So many guests, we not trying to impress. Just want to pass off the info. You can do the rest. See, there's no escaping tech. It's part of our lives. Keep every individual connected worldwide. But all this innovation is more than entertainment. It's people like you paving a new way every day. So let your imagination run wild with all the things that you dream about. Cause the Tech Zone is on now with Paul Amadeus Lane. Blah. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Zone. Paul Amadeus Lane, ABC News Radio. I'm so happy to have you with me on our show today. Coming up on our show, we're going to be talking about a news outlet that's using technology to help spread the word and how they're taking a different approach to what we are seeing today. Coming up in our second segment, we're going to talk about independent video game development and how this one company is taking us back. Nostalgia. I'm talking about Kick Kick Punch. I'm talking about the music, like, you know what I mean? The nostalgic music in 90s video games. They're going to be joining me talking about their newest project and how we can help out with spreading the word about this project. But before we talk about our first story, I want to let you know something. The website is finally up. The Death Star is fully operational. Yes, no matter what you heard, the new site is up, paulamadeuslane.com. And I thank the team who put it together. They did a fantastic job. Go there, check it out. Let me know what you think. I'm just so excited to have it done. All right, so in our first segment, I wanted to talk about something that did not get a lot of fanfare, and it really bugged me that it didn't. We're always bombarded about bad news. Oh, this happened, that happened, they did this, they did that. But there was some good news that came out earlier in the month of September about what AT&T are doing for what AT&T is doing for their customers out there that are vision impaired. And this is hats off to my friends over there at AT&T for what they're doing, helping out the vision impaired community out there. And we have a little video that kind of shows what they're doing. And I'll kind of narrate it a little bit and put my narration voice on. Now, what you're seeing right here is Aura in action. It's powered by AT&T. Now, they're a San Diego based startup company, and the company uses wearable technologies, artificial intelligence, and also a live human assistance to help people who are blind or have low vision to navigate their surroundings. Now, using a smartphone or a pair of smart glasses, Aura, which is a guest or explorer, respectively connects to a remote professional agent who provides a real-time description of what's around them. And the agent uses a remote presence dashboard with live video stream GPS maps and an AI assistant information gatherer from the web to provide relevant details to the guest or the explorer. And this is awesome. You go into a retail store, the agent can offer all kind of help. As a matter of fact, why don't we listen in a little bit on this this exchange right here?
Yeah, no problem, Eric. All right, if you head straight ahead, I see some cases on the bookshelf right in front of you.
Okay.
My wife will want me to have a red one.
So if you want to reach your arm out, all right, go three up.
Three, and then four, okay.
Perfect.
Four here.
And then here's the red case if you want to pull that off and I can take a closer look.
And it fits my phone, correct? Cool beans, I might get this one.
I tell you, this is amazing. Huge shout out to you, AT&T, for doing something like this. And if you'd like to know more information about what AT&T offers when it comes to business, and healthcare, go to their website right here at AT&T.com/business/healthcare. Hats off to you folks. I love what you guys are doing for my community out there. Mazel tov. Yes. Thank you guys so much. All right. So let's take our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk about independent gaming development. And yes, the website is up. The Death Star is fully operational. Check it out. PaulAmadeusLane.com. Take care, folks. Talk to you soon.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Welcome back to the show. Second segment, Paul Amadeus Lane. And if you missed anything in our first segment, you can always catch up and check it out on the podcast, ABC News Radio, KMET. You can download the app. That's the best way. You can always check out things on iHeart, iTunes, you know, all the other Spotify, all the other features as well, too. You can always keep up to date. What I wanted to do on this segment was I really wanted to highlight the independent gaming developers out there and some of the great projects that they are working on. I came across one the other day that's working on a project that's taking us back, taking us old gamers back. Sean, you know what I'm talking about, to the late 80s, early 90s games where they had the pretty nostalgic music, when it was kick, kick, punch, and not melee and crouch and all these other things. And I wanted to share it with you because independent studios, they need our help out there, especially if we are in the gaming community or gamers out there. They really need our help out there to help the cause with these great games that they're developing. And my next guest is going to talk about this awesome nostalgic game that he and his team are working on. And I'm so excited right now to have with me the creative director of this awesome video game. I am so stoked. We're talking about Richard James Cook joining me. Richard, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I was actually playing Assassin's Creed and enjoying myself and just like, so much to do. But I'm so happy to be here, man. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, great to have you, my friend. Maybe we should meet up and do a mission together. What do you think? Everything be cool?
I think so.
Let's do it. Hey, but let's talk about this, this latest project that you were on, and just take us to when you guys decided to do this. How many years in advance did you guys know you guys wanted to do this? Or was it something you guys thought about, you know, earlier this year?
I mean, with indie stuff especially, it's kind of just one of those spur of the moment things a lot of the time. This project is kind of sort of about 5 years in the making, but it's because we've been working on it like on and off that entire time. You know, sometimes whenever I was studying at the University of Texas at Austin under Warren Spector, he created like System Shock, and he didn't create System Shock, but he created Deus Ex and helped on System Shock and stuff like that. So I was learning under him, and that was like 2 years after I first had the idea, but I just decided to like pick it back up then for whatever reason, start putting art together and all that stuff. So it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, should we make this game? Should we not make this game? Is it a fun little thing? Are we going to commit ourselves to it? You know? And we did finally make that decision, you know, like 3 years ago, and just like started putting art and stuff together as much as we possibly could and documentation. But a lot of it, like as far back as 5 years, a lot of it kind of came out of this idea that I wanted to make something a little more for casual players as opposed to really competitive players, because the fighting game scene has kind of sort of gotten really exclusive for a lot of people. And you hear it a lot when you're out on like at conventions and stuff, that people go, I'm not good at fighting games, or, you know, I'm not going to play this because I suck at it or something. And I kind of like wanted to change that narrative a little bit and like bring people back into this kind of time, I guess, whenever it was not really seen as an exclusive you know, genre or anything like that for people, because games like Mortal Kombat, you know, in a lot of ways, like games like Mortal Kombat were, I wouldn't want to say like broken or anything, but they weren't like super overly balanced for competitive play or anything. They were just fun. And so it was just kind of allowed people to come in and mash buttons and, you know, yell at each other on the couch and stuff like that and just enjoy the experience. So it was about trying to like capture that again in terms of what I was trying to do. And whenever I first had the idea for it, that's like the, you know, the design direction that we went with was just to make it as fun as possible. You know, I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but like it was just the idea that we wanted to make this more for that type of audience than a super competitive like Evo tournament audience or something like that.
You know, and Richard, I'm glad that you said that, because the way video games are now, you know, I've been a gamer since I was about 8 years old, and you know, I remember games like this where you just, you know, went forward and had fun, had a little combat. And then we got into the storylines and we got into all this gameplay, which is fine. I like that. But sometimes I like just to go for it, have some fun, talk trash, and not have to think that much.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are a couple games that came out the last 5 years or so, games like Divekick, you know, that really go after this idea that, you know, Divekick only used two buttons, and it was like super, super casual. But there is, you know, in a lot of ways too, it's not like we're excluding the competitive community, and that's not like our intention making this game, because I think realistically, all these games have a mechanic. Oh, looks like I went out for a second there. All these games have a mechanic that can be mastered, I guess, if that's the way you want to put it. Like there's ways you can, you know, play this and get good at it, and, you know, play other people who also got good at it. And that comes down to things like timing nuances, which is something that like Divekick really focused on. It was, you know, it was about getting the jump on your character. It wasn't about complication of mechanics or anything like that. So again, like we're trying to go after that, but in the traditional like fighter formula, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, four face buttons, high kick, low kick, you know, stuff like that. And it's just taking those traditional controls, but trying to maintain the kind of casual philosophy that we're going after with the audience we want to play the game. So.
And Rich, what was the most, I guess, challenging aspect of this project? Because we know the way technology is now, that from our homes we can make AAA games if we wanted to, just the way technology is. But to kind of do a retro kind of game like this, did the technology assist with that, or was it kind of difficult just because the way things are now?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's been a bit of a popular like subgenre going on recently called the D-make, or, you know, the D-evolution of games or whatever. So I even started seeing like some examples recently of people D-making, you know, 3D games and making these, you know, somebody did like a remake of BioShock, but in PS1 graphics style. So it was like an interesting aesthetic to it, making it look, you know, devolved, but also still very depthy and interesting and whatnot. But like, it's the same thing with 2D games. You know, that's why we have this kind of influx of pixel art games these last, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years or whatever. And it's just the aesthetic, like people like the aesthetic. So, you know, that was, you know, one thing we went after with the digitized actors, which, you know, Mortal Kombat popularized, but a lot of other games like tried to do it, like Way of the Warrior or Kasumi Ninja and Street Fighter, the movie, the game, you know, and didn't really capitalize on it, because I think the thing that made it work for Mortal Kombat, and I'm sorry, I'm like digressing, I'm rambling on here, but like,
oh, no, I'm enjoying it.
the thing that like made it work for Mortal Kombat, in my opinion, was that they made those characters look like they were part of that world. So, you know, they were high contrast. They had really high, like good highlights on their muscles and dark shadows and stuff like that. Like they look like they fit into the environment that they're fighting in, which is something I think a lot of the games that quote unquote ripped it off, you know, didn't really capitalize on. And then by the time, you know, MK3 had come out, that was 1995, I believe, you know, the PlayStation 1 was out and the whole industry was transitioning to 3D. So all of a sudden this, you know, idea that we're like going after hyper realism with digitized actors, it's so realistic, you know, like that transition to 3D. And the idea now was to evolve the 3D like medium in practice. So obviously those games like kind of just disappeared, you know? And so there have been a few kind of under the radar examples that happened over the past few years. There's one there's one game called Dong Dong Never Die. And it's just this whole, it's the whole idea that we're going after too. And it's actually really cool. It's just a little indie thing that like blew up on the indie forums and, you know, fighting game forums and stuff. I don't know if it ever had a commercial release or anything though, but it was just a little like mod project or whatever that somebody did. And it was actually pretty cool. Used digitized actors and it got a lot of exposure just through the grapevine and, you know, being viral and stuff. But other than that, like, I think, you know, we're one of the very few examples of people trying to bring this digitized actors thing back. And it has its own challenges to it too, you know, just back to the green screen stuff with shooting the digitized actors, you have to make sure that you're getting good lighting, that you're shooting with a camera that can go up to 60 frames a second, because motion blur is a nightmare for like keying out green screen stuff. And then on top of that, like the amount of physicality it actually takes to do these moves and over a 10, you know, 12 hour shoot day and keep up with that. And I'm actually the ninja character in the game that in my own game. So, and that wasn't like intentional. That was just because we don't have money right now to like really get actors and cast them properly and stuff, but we needed placeholder assets to build the game around. So I put myself in the game and my friend put myself in. We're the only two characters in the game right now, but I remember that shoot. We shot it in a friend's garage. And I was in full costume, like full ninja costume, in a friend's garage in July in Kansas. And it was like 90 degrees out. And like by the end of that shoot, I was just drenched. And it's just, you know, not something that's, it looks a lot easier from the outside than it is, you know, to what it actually is and what you're doing. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, you're spot on, because I know you and I talked about this before we
Get
the interview, just about it and about just everything that goes on with creating the game. And and I had no idea just all the nuances that go into to developing a video game. And I don't think many of the consumers do either, because all they look at, I'm going to play the game and enjoy it. But you guys put blood, sweat, and tears, especially independent studios, projects like yourself. I mean, you guys go above and beyond, because you're not working with a staff of over 100, 300 people, you know, at the studio. You know, it's a small group that you guys are working with.
Yeah, it's three of us. That's it. And it's two programmers and me. You know, we have one extra artist that helps on and off, who's the other character in the game, but he's also the artist on the game. But other than that, you know, like the programmers do a lot of great work and have really, like, for a long time when we were just kind of building this up on the idea or the documentation or the art or whatever, that's all it was. It was just art and design and all that stuff. But we actually only got the programmers about a year and a half ago. And just in that small amount of time, like it was about 8 months of actual development time, they completely just made everything work and functional. And it was just like a dream come true for me, you know, and seeing the game stagnant for so long, trying to get it functional because I'm not a programmer myself. And, you know, they did wonders. It was, we were co-developing it with a studio called Headless Chicken Games. And they've just been like wonderful, because they're not just there for a paycheck or anything either. They're like, they actually love working on the game. And that's kind of like that's what you want. That's the dream team, I guess, is to have people who actually all enjoy working on the game and aren't just there to like, you know, get by or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy last year, and seeing it all come together, and it's just honestly amazing for me, you know, seeing it come together after all this time.
Well, I'm definitely happy for you guys and pulling for you guys. And what I like is, the whole gaming experience. You take us down memory lane with the music, you know, the old music, like, see that? See, I can get down with that, because I remember, I think it was an old Mr. Do game on ColecoVision, and I can remember the music like it was yesterday. Burger Time, You know, I remember that music. You know, all these things, you know, bring back a lot of memories. So for some of us old time gamers, you know, who've been in the game a long time, and, yeah. and I appreciate getting taken down a memory lane with this project. And I think you guys have really hit a home run. Now, once the project is completed, well, which mm-hmm. platforms will it be on?
Well, and again, we're in a kind of pretty fortunate situation. Again, the co-developers, Headless Chicken Games, they're already Sony and Microsoft partners. So they already have the dev kits for the stuff. So that gives us a much easier gateway to get on the PS4 and Xbox One. It will obviously be on PC because that's what we're building it on. Like, you know, why not? But PC is not like our main platform. So it will definitely be on PS4, Xbox One. We just started talking with a Nintendo rep as well and are about to get partnership with them so we can put it on Switch. So it'll be on everything eventually at some point.
That is so cool. That's so cool. So how can we support the cause? How can we support this project? Because something tells me that you guys have a little Kickstarter campaign that's good until the 12th of October that we yeah. can help out. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a Kickstarter running right now. And, you know, we're still grinding along. We've committed, whether it gets funded or not, no matter what happens, we've committed to finishing the game. When it gets done is going to depend on, you know, the outcome of this and where we go forward from here, but we're already working on a bunch of different things. But as of right now, the Kickstarter is still running. We have about 7 days left on it. So if anyone wants to come contribute to it, it would be greatly appreciated. And you can go to supercombatfighter.com to get that direct link or whatever. And I'm just like, I mean, at least, you know, no matter how it goes, like I said, we're going to keep going on because even during the Kickstarter, we've had so many like amazing announcements and stuff. You know, we just announced John Parrish, the actor who played Jax in Mortal Kombat. He's going to be in our game. Like, we just announced that. And I'm just like, my childhood mind is like exploding because, you know, like that's an original Mortal Kombat game actor that agreed to be in our game. And it's just surreal for me to see him, you know, excited to do it. And he did a little video for us and all kinds of stuff. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, you know, because he's one of those guys who, like, after the shoot in Mortal Kombat like 25 years ago, and he's still stacked. Like, he's a bodybuilder is what he does, like, on his off time. So he's like even more stacked than he was back when he was playing Jax. So it's just insane and very optimistic to see him still going on like that. We're just ecstatic to have him in our game. So,
and something tells me maybe in not the near future, not too distant future, at an E3, either Sean Layden or Phil Spencer mm-hmm. is going to talk about this game on the stage at the media briefing. Something just tells me that that's going to happen. You know, Sean Layden's a good friend of mine. So I might put a bug in Sean's ear and say, hey, Sean, hey, this will be cool to showcase. What do you think? He'll say, Paul, get out my face. Even though we're buddies, get out my face. No, but I'm telling you, this is like amazing. It's taking us back down memory lane. What I like about it too is the newer gamers, the who are coming up, they get to see a glimpse of what we remember what gaming was like at the arcade. We had to put our 25 cents in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're hopefully gonna go big with it and this idea that, like, I mean, we wanna have an arcade cabinet at one of the shows we show the game at. For brevity, just like I want to play this game on an arcade cabinet for that traditional experience. It was actually kind of funny too, because when we were filming the Kickstarter video, like the campaign video, we were doing this whole like me in the past having the idea for the game in 1993 when I'm playing Mortal Kombat at an arcade or whatever. And we had like gotten an old CRT computer monitor and keyboard and all that stuff to film this sequence where I'm quote unquote programming the game, and all I'm doing is just like banging on the keyboard or whatever. But we had plugged the CRT monitor into my laptop to mirror the image from my laptop. And it was like, for a moment there, whenever I saw the game on the CRT old computer monitor screen, it's got like its own like look and style of like super depthy, super, you know, like rich colors and stuff. very high contrast and just that little bit of blur that makes it like all blend together and stuff. And I was just looking at it and I was like, man, this like looks exactly like how I used to play these games, you know, on old CRT TVs and stuff. And it just took me back and I was like, this is like the way this game was meant to be played, you know, as opposed to like doing it on a high definition screen or something.
4K.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It's just something about the color separation in the old TVs and stuff that just like take me back and make me feel that experience again. So
I love it. I love it. I love it. And Richard, great talking to you about the project, and please come back and chat with us again as we get closer and closer to launch. Or if you have another Kickstarter program, please come back on and we'll help spread the word. And if you can give that website out again for the Kickstarter.
So the website from the main game, you can get to the Kickstarter from there. The website from the main game is supercombatfighter.com. And it's that same way across all our social stuff, except for Twitter. Our Twitter is at Kick Kick Punch, because Super Combat Fighter was too many characters for them.
I like
that. Everything else is /Super Combat Fighter, Facebook.com/Super Combat Fighter.
That's so, how we used to play the arcade, Kick Kick Punch.
Kick Kick Punch.
That's what we did. It's a great chatting with you, my friend.
It was great chatting with you as well. Thank you.
Once again, a huge shout out to Richard James Cook. I tell you, this game is taking me way back, taking me back. And remember, go to the website and check them out and help them out. Super Combat Fighter. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about independence again. We're going to talk about a media outlet out there that's really changing the way that we get content, the way we view content, and is bringing back old school journalism. Not this new school of journalism will get the stories out fast as you can without checking the facts, but they're really taking us back to how things used to be, and they are using technology to help spread this platform, and they're doing something special for Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October. So we'll be right back, more show coming up after this.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.
Welcome back to the show. Third and final segment, Paul Amadeus Lane. You're in the tech zone, ABC News Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes. There's a lot of ways you can check us out. And if you forget, go to our new revamped website, paulamadeuslane.com. Click on the show feature. Click on Tech Zone. You can download the Tech Zone app. We have an Android and iOS app. You can keep in contact with the shows, comment, share. And we appreciate the engagement that we've had with the shows. One of the engineers here at the station, my buddy Sean, was talking about just how much you guys appreciate the show. With our podcast number. So we really, really appreciate that. Thank you guys so much. Fake news. How many times have we heard that? And you know, it's kind of like, you know, when people say fake news, 9 times out of 10, they are the ones spewing fake news. That's all that I'm saying. When it comes to media outlets and news organization, sometimes there's a rush to come out with the story and sometimes the story is inaccurate. When I was schooled when it comes to journalism, we used to always say, when in doubt, leave it out. We would always say, don't editorialize a story, read the facts and check the facts. What you want to do is you want to look at references. You really want to do your due diligences as journalists out there to make sure that information is accurate. Well, my next guest is making sure that his news organization is doing just that. But also he talks about some of the technology that they've instituted to make sure that you can keep up to date with everything that's going on in all the realms of news out there. And they're also doing something very special for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And the owner and executive producer opened up to me of why he's particularly helping out when it comes to Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And check it out. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. And I'm so happy to have with me right now, fellow Dodger fan, my man, Mike Sandoval, EP, over at Muse TV. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Going good here at the home today, relaxing before the Dodger game.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get another win tonight.
I know. Rub it in, man. That's all I got to say. Rub it in. And you know, I'm so glad we got together because we know it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October. And over at Muse, you know, you guys are really making sure that you're bringing awareness to this. What made you guys want to do that, especially when it comes to spreading the word, when it comes to women's health and just being an advocate out there?
Well, it all started because 11 years ago, I lost my mom to breast cancer. And this is before Muse even started. I was with the LA Galaxy working for them at the time. And I remember just everything I went through, everything me and my sister went through, my family went through. So in honor of my mom, I decided to that as when I started Muse, that we would always and constantly be doing something to help in the fight against breast cancer, women's cancers, and eventually we're moving into cancers of all types to help people.
Yeah. And I tell you, Mike, that's what I normally see when it comes to ones who are being advocates out there, especially in our industry and using our platforms to really spread the word, is that it is as a personal connection when it comes to ones with breast cancer. And when we look at how things are going today, we're at a point now where we're getting a lot of funding, a lot of help in this area. And to me, the work is never done because so many people each year are, you know, being diagnosed in the families. And as a person of a family member who had this dreadful disease, you know, your experience is helping ones out there dealing with it. And why use Muse as a platform to help spread the word?
It's pretty much why not. You know, it's like we do things with so many great people, from music to entertainment to sports, that it's the best way to get the word out. And we met a charity that we're working with this year that we're going to be, we still need to build a lot of the links so that we get everything ready, with F Cancer out of Huntington Beach. And they're a great charity that I really like the work that they do, because they grant wishes to cancer patients. They give them a nice, fun, happy day, as well as doing research and getting the word out. And it's not just to certain communities, it's to everybody. So to use Muse as a platform to be able to get their word out, to get their message out, it's a great thing. It works for everybody.
And one thing that I really like, Mike, about Muse is that just the growth that you have had over the years. I know you and I have known each other for several years now. And just to see what you have done and what technology has allowed you to do to have this platform, have it out there, spreading the word, having this great content out there. Please share with ones out there about Muse and what they can experience when they go to the website, when they follow you on all your platforms and everything, and have that Muse experience.
Well, with Muse, we try and take it old school when it comes to journalism. We don't really go into the gossip or anything like that. We go into the actual work in the movie industry, the music industry, and all forms of entertainment, sports, and lifestyle aspects. We are right now looking into what we're going to be doing for the next 5 years. We're looking at changing. We want to be, I guess the best way to put it is that for Muse, we always want to give an experience that's different from everybody else, even from big companies that their websites don't look that well. there are news outlets. It has to be colorful. In this day and age, it has to be visually pleasing. And we try and give that through Muse. Our video content is, we get some great videos with some great musicians and entertainers. And just heard a ding on my computer right now.
mine's coming too, so you might hear mine in a minute too.
let me quit my mail really quick while I'm doing this. But that's what we do, is we try and give the best content, where, especially in our video platforms through YouTube, and when we move into Amazon and a couple other outlets, we want to be able where you'll be able to watch it in the same high quality that we're shooting at, you know, on your phone, your tablet, your PC or Mac, as well as your television. We shoot a majority of our content now is all in 4K. And we started shooting on Thursday with 4K 60 frames per second. So we even want an even higher quality. And they keep telling me that, why are you shooting so high right now? Such a high quality. And it's like, why not? Nobody else is doing it, so might as well.
You know, and I'm glad you're doing it right now, because looking at the forecast out there in the tech market, there's things that are happening. And I don't think a lot of people are realizing this. All they have to look at is how cheap 4K TVs are now. That's an indicator to know that pretty soon, real soon, everything is going to be 4K content from the networks for everything. Kind of like what happened with a standard definition and high definition, where, remember when the high definition TVs started to come down a little bit and be a little bit more economical, you know, for us to buy, and then boom, here we go. So it's happening again. So Mike, you hit on a very good a subject out there, because it's about to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that a lot of people aren't looking at, because let's be honest, a lot of people are not, they have websites, they have these news outlets, but they don't know the tech aspect of things. They have other people creating their websites, other people building their products. So they're not, they don't know what's coming up. They don't know what's ahead of the game compared to like us, where we're constantly in the tech game. We're constantly seeing what's going on. We go to CES to be able to see what's the next and the latest and greatest, or even NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters Conference, because that's the work you have to do as the owner, but also for if you want your company to survive in the future.
And as an entrepreneur, business owner, techpreneur, journalist / cool hair guy
/
/ everything, tell me when it comes to implement things at Muse, like when you guys ended up being on Apple News, when did you know it was the right time to make that leap as an entrepreneur, techpreneur, and you're like, okay, we have to stay relevant, we have to do these certain things, because there may be ones out there listening who are entrepreneurs who are kind of like stuck in the dark ages and not using technology to the fullest. How do you come up with the right time to do certain things, implement new tech features?
Pretty much it's the research and development phases of everything. You got to read what's going on. You got to see what's out there. Luckily for me, I do have that tech background from going to Bosco Tech, Don Bosco Technical Institute, when I was in high school, and now where I learned a lot of stuff and how to prepare for this, for what you're moving on to. And it's about getting the beta test products, testing them out, seeing what's going to work, what do you feel is going to attract people. Like with Apple News, it was a no-brainer because it's on every single iPhone, iPad, and pretty soon it's going to be on every desktop, as Apple News now is going into the desktop and to the laptop space. So you got to look at the product and see how it works for you. Social media is one of those things where the social media products are a little different, because there has to be some type of engagement into it. If there's no engagement and you don't see that signature, so many people actually using it and working with it, then it's a different story. And that's the separation of it. But when it comes to like news outlets, like Google News, Facebook Instant Article, implementations with that and Apple News, and how to integrate and how to build in different products into that type of space, and what are your abilities to build those products and expand on them. That is how we make the decision. And I'm not the only one who makes a decision on it. We'll give it to some of the interns that we have and some of the people who work here at Muse and have them test it, want their feedback, get it to friends as well to see what they think of it. How was their user experience? And once we figure that out, then we know, okay, let's start using this. Let's start implementing and start creating content for those different platforms.
I tell you, Mike, you know, you can really tell when we have a discussion, just how serious it is to be up on the trends and be up on the latest things out there, and how you make sure the team is doing the same thing.
And well, that's what happened with newspapers, to be honest. I mean, the reason why newspapers are hurting is because they're so stuck in the past and they don't look at developing for the future and what's going to be coming up. Paper products is becoming so expensive to print on now that, and they've waited so long to go into that digital curve that you're seeing a lot of traditional newspapers hurting now, and you're trying to see them catch up. Hence the reason why they're selling to these other big media outlets now that are already in the space or are developing for the space. So it really does, you see what's going on and you got to be able to be ahead of the game.
And that's kind of like in the radio and television industry now too. You see a lot of networks having their own apps, their own streaming content, because there is going to be a day where we won't have the DirecTVs, the Dish Networks.
No.
You know, it's going to be like the Amazon Fire Sticks or the Roku Sticks, and then the different apps out there are Apple TV or PlayStation View. We're going to start to see and you can see like the satellite companies now, you know, seeing that shift too, because now they have their apps. Now they have their DirecTV Now. They have Sling, Dish Anywhere Now. So we're starting to see even like Spectrum app. They're starting to see these things. And if people who own these radio stations, these smaller TV stations, if they don't get on the bandwagon now, game over, man. I mean, this can happen so quick. By 2020, we could probably see an end to a lot of things the way we view content in the traditional way that we did, Mike, when you and I were like pre-teenagers.
Right, exactly. I don't like to think that we're that from that time frame.
We're not that old yet. So
yeah, exactly. But I mean, look at Charter, Spectrum right now. They already launched their mobile devices. I guess they're trying to get into the mobile space now, and you see Charter doing that. But also to get through that, there's going to have to be some oversight into everything now, because as you've noticed, especially now that there's such an they're emphasizing so much fake news.
Yeah.
And you see websites that are willing to do anything to buy their followers, buy their content, buy their reach, that there has to be accountability to what is real and what is being contrived. And what is the message that is going out? And it's kind of, as we're seeing this space get larger, I think there will have to be some type of either a certification from different news organization or news agency to show people that you're doing actual news, that it isn't something that all our numbers and analytics are true analytics and true followers, and doing it that way, because I'm starting to see a lot more people buying their Instagram followers and people not knowing that, hey, you know what, this person is buying them, and you could tell because you match it between the amount of followers they have into the amount of engagement into every post. And I always say, this is an old adage, is that 5 to 10% of whatever your numbers are should be in relationship to sharing for a certain post.
That's true. That is so true. Cause you look at some of the major entertainers out there too. Even they are they're starting to buy their followers and everything for this perception. And I think what people gotta look at is not the quantity, but the quality, like you said, the quality of their engagement. Cause that means everything. People engage, people share. And it's more of a game of authenticity that they really got to shoot for and everything. And
it goes back to it's not really a developing a new concept of how to follow that. It's like the old days, like with Walter Cronkite when he used to be on television. You built that relationship and that relationship of trust that everything that you're building and everything that you're doing is people know that you're doing it the right way and you're putting out great quality information that's real, truthful, and you have sources behind it.
And you know what? You know, Mike, I think we are at the time of society now where we don't appreciate that no more. And I'll tell you why. Nothing against reality TV. You know, I watch certain reality shows, but I think people love just drama. They love nonsense. They love, and you look at like reality TV, you can tell a lot of that stuff is staged and it's supposed to be reality TV. So it's kind of like the buying the fake followers, you know, and not having authenticity. And I think we as a society, sad to say, has shifted to that. You look at the different news organizations out there. I was at a restaurant yesterday with my folks and my wife, and at the bar, and normally at the bar, you have sports on at the bar, right? Yeah, right. They had a cable news show on, and I looked at that, and I'm like, why is that on in here? I come here to eat. If I want to watch Fox, CNN, MSNBC, let me do it in my house. I do not want to see an establishment take sides in any political debate out there, any political leaning that they have. And that just really just made me upset, because I'm like, have we gotten that far in society when it comes to consuming content that we cannot have a neutral type of thing? Like, I would have loved to see some Muse videos up there that they're showing, you know, some entertainment or something, you know, but to have that, and as a society, we have gotten to a point where we're just, in my opinion, many of us are brain dead, man, when it comes to
and that. Look at our leaders. I mean, they've always said that the person who is in the top of the office is always reflective into what society is at that time and moment in years. So it's really sad to see, but I think eventually it's, everything comes in waves and everything changes. And I remember one of my old bosses at the Angels always say, the only constant in life is change.
Yeah.
You'll see another change and there'll be another inspiration. You see already high school kids, that generation is going to be a different generation from the last generation, even from our generation. So you always have to have some type of hope that things will go back to the way they were.
And that's true. That is so true. And before I let you go, my friend, there, I remember, one of my mentors in radio, been in radio, he's been in radio for like decades. He told me, if your manager or your leader is operating at a 3 at a scale of 1 to 10, you'll never operate anything higher than him. You'll be like a 1.5, 1, maybe a 2, but never in that realm. And that is so true with the way that news organizations are run now, media organizations, entertainment. You know, you and I, we deal with people in the entertainment inside and out, PR people, and some of them are just like, ah, you know. So yeah, you bring up a very good point.
Exactly. It's only getting more difficult with the more outlets that are out there.
It is.
It's a lack, and also on the lack on the PR side to keep up with what's going on, to show true analytics, to look into somebody's actual readership and viewership instead of just saying, oh, looking at the numbers face up and saying, oh yeah, we should let them in to cover this when you don't know what's behind everything.
Well said. And that's why I love your outlet, love your information, and technology has made it so that we can enjoy that. And I like the content. You have a Unity a tab, you have entertainment, all these other things. How can one stay in contact with Muse Television?
Well, you can go onto our website at musetv.net. On social media, we're at Facebook, Twitter is MuseTV1, facebook.com/MuseTV1. On Instagram, it's MuseTV. So you can find us on there. On YouTube, you can find us as well. If you just go into the search bar and click Muse space TV, you'll find us right on the top of the search. And that's how you can find us. We try and upload every day. We have a lot of videos coming up tomorrow. Like I had mentioned to you earlier, we're going to be at Cal Jam for Foo Fighters Music Festival. And we're going to have a lot of, and we'll let it out of the bag already. We're going to be doing a lot of changes at the end of December. Some great changes into the way the website looks. Hopefully we'll have our application done for Apple iPhone first, and then we'll develop it for Android and give a new experience, something different that for our readership, they're going to really love, and hope you they'll like it a lot, as well as the new lifestyle section, which we're getting a lot of feedback from essentially Crystal, which is going to be cool. So we're going to really do, we're going to do some good things. Just stay tuned for 2019.
Yeah. Crystal's cool. She's an awesome person, and she's kind of like my celebrity crush, but don't tell her that. Okay.
Just make sure essentially crystal.com, check out her website, and it feeds into Muse as well. So we have a great partnership. So it's between us on that one.
Yeah. Don't tell her. Hey, but great catching up with you, my friend, and keep up the great work. And I'm always happy to catch up and talk with you, and go Dodgers.
Exactly. Go Dodgers. Hopefully World Series win this year.
Please. Let's do it. My pal, Michael Sandoval, Mike, my man, Money Mike. I'm going to change his name to Money Mike. He got all the bread out there. That's all I'm saying. Enjoyed talking to him about Muse Television and what they're doing out there. And also the struggles when it comes to being a viable media outlet there today. Really good, insightful things. And enjoyed him opening up to me about his mother and his mother succumbing to breast cancer, and why he is so a great advocate when it comes to breast cancer awareness. And his sister is awesome too, Lisa. She's awesome as well too. All right. Well, don't forget, connect with me, Paul, AmadeusLane.com. Check out the new website, connect with me, social media, all the great things. And thank you so much for helping the show to grow. Go to the website. You can check out all the shows that I do and produce. And we're going to have some entertainment zone news coming up really, 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 really soon. A partnership that was just, I want to say married with another great organization out there with that show. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming up soon. Take care of yourself, folks. I love you all. I love you. And please don't be led by the madness out there. Don't get worked up. You know, if you have a point, if you have something that you believe in, talk to someone about it. Have an open dialogue. No name calling, no disrespecting. Let's act like people and adults out there. Remember, our children are watching. Take care, folks. Love you guys.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.